Beyond the News Podcast.
This is Beyond the News Podcast. My name is Faith Dafa-Joseph. Welcome.
If it is obscenely monetized and you have such a few number of people voting for who will be president because of monetary inducements, then it means we need to take a proper look at our processes of producing the president.
There have been complaints from different quarters about how expensive the entire process of the election is and how it has been insanely monetized. On this episode of Beyond the News, I will be talking about financing in politics in Nigeria. And I have as a guest, Hamzat Lawal. He's an activist who has successfully led grassroots campaigns in over 40 African countries. And he has over 15 years experience in the nonprofit sector. He is also the founder of Follow the Money. So definitely, you know the reason why I have him on the show. Follow the Money is the largest pan-African grassroots data-driven movement and leads a team of technology and innovation-driven campaigners to amplify the voices of marginalized grassroots communities in promoting accountability as it affects utilization of public funds, focusing on specific communities across Africa. And he's also currently the chief executive of Connected Development, CODE. Welcome to the show. All right, so the 2023 elections are underway. We have a lot of politicking going on and a lot of monies being spent as the campaign season hits up. We've had primaries from different political parties. One of the major political parties had their primaries over the last weekend, and there was the criticism of how heavily it was monetized. By the time you put all of this together, you look at the campaign financing, you look at the monies for buying the forms, you look at having to make sure that, you know, you get a ticket in the first place, you realize that elections are really, really expensive in Nigeria for a poor country. Why are elections so expensive?
Well, thank you again for having me. Sadly, elections in Nigeria have highly been monetized or heavily been monetized. Why? Because today you have corrupt old politicians whose business and whose profession are only politics. So for them, they're desperate. And the only way they can continue to remain in power, remain relevant, and continue to dwindle our treasury is to invest heavily in politics by inducing from delegates to even vote buying and vote selling. So you see them induce electorate, you see them induce delegates, and for them it's about buying their ways into public office. And that's why we are where we are today, because if for them they see election and politics as an investment, the first thing they would want to do when they get into office or when they provide money bags, because we, as much as some of them are corrupt and in office, others are political investors, so they invest as money bags. So the first thing they want to do is recoup their investment. And that's why you have high cost of contracts. That's why you have a lot of abandoned projects, misappropriation and embezzlement. So they can also steal plenty of money and plan for the next 4 years.
Very interesting. But one of the things that came up with the purchase of the forms from 40 million for the PDP to 100 million for the APC, that's talking about the presidential nomination forms. One of the things they kept saying was that they were trying to raise funds for the party. In other crimes, there are different ways that parties raise their funds, their donors and, you know, contributions and PACs and things like that. Nigeria, it doesn't seem to be like that. Should we be concerned about how political parties in Nigeria fund themselves? Should there be more scrutiny? Should there be some sort of regulation for that? Is that going to be a way out of minimizing the cost of our elections and, as you call it, investment by career politicians?
Yes, that's not true. So you see, political parties are just trying to hide under the fact that, oh, we don't have money, we need to raise resources, we need to use it to generate revenue. That's not true. So what have you been doing for the past 4 years? So for instance, the APC say they have the largest political party in Africa. So if you have, you claim you have millions of members, why don't you tax your members? Don't they pay membership fee? You know, why can't you print t-shirts and face cap and other materials that you can sell and make profit and then invest it back into your party. So for the, that's for the APC. So for the PDP, you can also do the same. Mind you, you know, you're saying you have members, then yet you're putting so much money, pegging, you know, expression of interest form and party nomination form. So for me, the corruption have even started from, or the whole money politics have started from the sales of form, particularly from the two major political parties. And I know our audience would say, why am I focused on the two political parties? One, it's because they set the pace for political landscape in Nigeria. A lot of people would also argue, well, the political party reduced their form for young people, women, and people with disability by 50%. Some other political party even gave them free of charge, you know. But does those parties actually have structures? Can they deliver on election? You know, yes, you can have a very popular candidate. You know, Hamza Lawal is popular. But if I go to a mushroom political party, I would lose election. They would beat me, you know, at the polls. So again, you want to, you know, you want to associate yourself with a political party that have structures, that have, you know, system and have capacity to deliver at the polls.
So basically, you do not buy into the "we're trying to raise funds, that's why we're selling our nomination fund for so much." But you did not address what I was talking about, whether we should regulate how parties, you know, source for their funds.
I think that now they're regulating how much money a candidate can spend. Even if we have that regulation, who's doing the checks? Because if truly our anti-corruption agency and the electoral umpire, that's INEC, is enforcing this, then why are politicians still getting away? No one has been arrested, no one has been prosecuted, no consequence. So for me, yes, we can try to say, oh, let's regulate these political parties, we'll pass laws, it will be signed by the president. But then who enforces this law? So for me, I'm just on the view that we need people that have credibility. We need people that even have values, people who have integrity to man our political ecosystem. Because if you have people with integrity and their words are their bonds, not people with a selfish, corrupt interest, then we would see some change. You know, we need political party led by ideas, led by, you know, innovation, led by a zeal to want to serve and create a chain of legacy. So for me, we can have laws to regulate political party. We can have laws to regulate the and put a peg on how much they can spend, you know, during a political cycle. But these people, when they know there are no consequences, and our country is full of strong men and strong women rather than strong institutions, they'll get away with it.
Very interesting. But I do have, there are two things that I'm going to mention here. One of them is this. You have IPAC calling for investigation and calling on the EFCC, you know, to do something, especially during this political season, for delegate spending and even for the purchase of these forms. So I do want you to address that if you support what IPAC is saying. But the second one is this. You're talking about the laws. This new Electoral Act that we had, spending limits was raised by almost 400%. From presidential to state assembly races. How does that impact, you know, the spending in our elections when you realize that even what we had before that we're complaining was too much was now raised by the people who are supposed to, you know, put together laws to help us manage our society?
So first, yes, I subscribe to what IPAC have said. And you see, EFCC and ICPC are set up not only to tackle economic and financial crimes, or prosecute people, you know, found wanting, but they're meant to also put in place preventive measures. So what sensitization have they taken engaging political parties? Because today in Nigeria, when you run, you have to run under a platform, which is political party, because we don't have independent candidacy under the law. So how have they engaged the leadership of various political parties? Is there a forum where EFCC and ICPC engage political parties, where they meet, if it's quarterly or annually, just to sensitize them and share knowledge and information what the consequences are when they flout the law, even if they're a ruling party or a leading opposition party? So for me, I subscribe to IPAC, but how has our anti-corruption agencies really engaged these political parties? Because it is their role and responsibility to, you know, prevent, you know, corruption and mismanagement or embezzlement. So as much as it's timely, I think that we need a proactive anti-corruption agency, and that's why I'm big on, you know, whoever heads the place must come with a wealth of knowledge and experience, but also be very effective and innovative and understand stakeholders' engagement and also reaching out to the stakeholders and continue to have dialogues over time. And that's why my ambition is to head one of these anti-corruption agents in the future.
Oh, wow. That is news. Definitely looking forward to that. Okay, but let's quickly talk about, you know, the National Assembly and its role. Like I said, they just, in the new electoral law, they had raised spending limits. But I find it very interesting that after they did that, you have the Speaker of the House, that's Honorable Fred Majabiamila, complaining about how expensive elections are. I'm going to quote him. He said that expectations around money as well as factors responsible for high cost of party nomination forms contribute to making elections costly in Nigeria, saying that, oh, we need to reform our campaign finance laws and the entire system through which we fund politics and political, you know, operations in this country, saying that the expectations almost always revolve around money. And then he said something that I find very interesting. He said, first, our people have expectations of politicians, those who hold political offices and those who aspire to do so. And that is part of the reason why, you know, you have politicians getting into politics, you know, and trying to get money out because there's so much expectation, you know, from them. And it was like citizen participation is trying to make sure that the people also know about the roles of politicians. In a way, he's like, well, it's your fault, the people. You have to be expectation of the politicians. And then he says, well, it's not really our fault. We should check how we fund the parties as well. So he's absolving, but also complaining. I mean, I find that a bit contradictory. What do you think?
So, you see, he's trying to exonerate himself here. You know, it's really sad and it's a shame that the Honorable, Right Honorable Speaker of the House of Representatives, who is a seasoned and experienced politician, but also a lawmaker, is trying to blame the people. You know, this is really a shame and this is totally unacceptable. What has he done? So he has just done out that, oh, we need to revamp the entire system. But that's the role of the office he occupies and the platform he belongs to. Our lawmakers are meant to make laws and oversight the executive. But yet they've made a law increasing by 400% campaign spending. And then you're saying, oh, the expectation of the electorate. When you engage these people only once in 4 years cycle, why wouldn't they have high expectation on you and high demands on you? You know, if you're a politician who your people would not see and you would not have town hall meeting or even engage in outreaches after you're elected into office, and then you come back after 4 years and say, elect, you know, I need your votes back, they would want to place on you a lot of expectation. But if you've engaged them in various outreaches, in various town hall meetings, and explain to them, educate them, because as politicians and office holders, you're meant to educate your constituents, educate them your roles and responsibility in parliament. Because then if you campaign and you say, we'll build road, we'll build school, that's not your job. Yes, there are constituency project budgets, but that's not your job. You know, that's not your role. Your role is to create laws, oversight the executive, and hold a lot of public hearing where citizens can air their views on the laws that are being passed or being deliberated on. So, you know, Honorable Femi Bajamila here, it's just sad that, you know, he's just trying to, you know, play smart and exonerate himself. He's part of the system, the very corrupt system, the very bureaucratic system that empowers and enriches people like him. When you even look at the recent amendment, Electoral Act amendment, you know, lawmakers wants to become delegates. That's what they pushed for. You know, they just want to be delegates who would inform, you know, who the people who vote, you know, for presidential election or governorship or various other offices. So they want to be the judge and the jury at the same time, you know. So they can't have it two ways. They can't have you can't have it two ways. So he let him stop being hypocritical, you know, as one of the principal officers and the leader of not just the political party, but the House of Representatives.
Yes, they tried to make themselves statutory delegates because, according to them, they felt that, you know, they made a mistake in the first passing of the bill to not have included that. And some people have opined that the reason why you have such a high dollarization of the primaries is because now the elected delegates hold all the power. That in time past, when you had the statutory delegate also being a part of it, we didn't have as much dollarization, you know, of the primary processes. What do you think?
I think they're just being smart and they just want a piece of the cake. So I'll tell you why. we have party executive. Before now, during primaries, it is the party executive that inform who becomes the candidate. And how do we get party executive to emerge and become delegates? There is a competitive process. The parties in the state, from the ward level to the local government, the state and the federal level, they sell form. So you buy this form, you fill it, and there's a democratic process that have delegates emerge who are part of the EXCO. So you see now, during these primaries, the EXCOs did not vote. It was the special, you know, delegates, or they call them statutory delegates, that voted. And now they've made it so competitive that now politicians know who to target and who to induce and entice. But if you have, you know, this party EXCOs, because they're still executive of the party, they still inform the party, both from the ward level to the national level. And for me, I just think our National Assembly members don't have an argument. Okay, so the president, when he signed the 2020 Electoral Act, which was, at that time it was a bill in front of him, the National Assembly leadership had a meeting with him and promised that they were going to remove a clause. I think that's Section 82 that compels executive, so that's appointive office holders, to resign if they're seeking an elective office. That they felt that that was a disenfranchisement, and they felt that their rights were trampled upon. And, you know, the president got commitment from the leadership of the National Assembly that let him just sign it. They're going to send another amendment. But the second amendment sitting on Mr. President does not have that law expunged. So everyone is playing politics. You know, so it's about now selfish interest, about personal interest, rather than our collective interest and just having what can make Nigeria grow and strive. So it's all about politics. Sadly, it's not about governance. So it's not about participation and equity. So, you know, let them just stop wailing and complaining. Let them do their job or vacate office.
Wailing and complaining. This is the last question I'm asking you. We are at the risk of having a plutocracy instead of a democracy, where only the people who have money, you know, are in charge of our government. How do we get out of this, you know, and what is the impact of this on this country as a whole?
Our dollar is heading towards 1,000 naira per dollar. You know, I think now it's over 600 naira. How do we get out of this? Every one of us has to be politician. You and I having this conversation, we have to be card carrying member of a political party. We must not agree. We must not embrace everyone. We must not embrace the same ideology. You can be a capitalist, I can be a socialist. But because, see, for you to inform real change and sustainable change that impacts the poor, the rich, the old, the young men, women, it has to be political, because the problems are political. Why do you think the solutions would, you know, be, you know, not be political? So the solution have to be political. And for us to get it politically right, the young professionals have to be politicians. You can say, I'm a business person, I run my own enterprise, you know, I have no business in government, but just one policy. So now even the FX market is crazy. You cannot get FX to transact. You want to go to China, you want to do business with the world, you can't get foreign currency because of, you know, corrupt politicians' policies around, you know our economy. So it's affecting us deeply. And to get out of this, we all must be politicians. We all must be card-carrying members. Let's make it more competitive, more interesting, and let ideas take precedence. Because right now, what is taking precedence is the charlatans. You know. So and you must understand that these politicians are smart. Give it to them. Because when you have someone who is not as exposed as you, convince you and convince millions of people and get votes and occupy office, that they control billion of naira, they control life and decide if you live or die and if you get basic amenities. So you give it to them. They're very smart and intelligent. But we need much more smart and intelligent people who have precedent, who have run businesses, who have track record, to come into politics and have their voices heard. Political platform is the biggest platform to make real, sustainable and tangible change. So for me, the solutions has to be political, and that's why I'm a politician. I tell people I'm a proud young politician, and very soon now I identify with the political party as we go into 2023 elections.
Oh wow, thank you so much. This has been a very interesting conversation. You run Follow the Money, so just as a closing remark, how exactly are you following the money in this entire political cycle, you know, especially from now up until 2023 when our new leaders are elected?
So I have deployed over 5,000 people to observe the, so we got status, you know, observer status from the political party, because Connected Development is an accredited INEC independent observer. So we also got accredited to observe the primaries, both that of PDP and APC. I was actually on the field. I was in Kogi State observing the Kogi senatorial, you know, senatorial primaries. That's Kogi Central. And I witnessed firsthand, you know, the corruption, the malpractice and intimidation of even the you know, the delegates. And we're collecting various evidences and reports, and hopefully we'll publish it before the elections and just inform the Nigerian people what the true cost of election is, or the true cost of our current political dynasty. Because a lot of people, you know, just think, oh, it's just the normal vote buying and vote selling or delegate. It's bigger than what we actually think it is. And when we publish this report, you will now see the consequences that might follow suit if we don't change the course of our great nation. So my Twitter handle is Hamzicode. That's at Hamzicode. Same with Instagram. And my fan page on Facebook is Hamzat Bilal.
Thank you very much for being a part of this conversation. Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the News podcast. The show was produced by Lai Glover and executive produced by Ayodele Adio. You can find this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Beyond the News podcast with Faith.